The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus, "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back, everybody. I thought I would tell you a little bit this morning about our first reading. Because we've been hearing our first reading from the book of Genesis for, gosh, almost 3 weeks now, and it deserves a word of commentary, right? So up until today, we've been hearing the story of Jacob. Until today, when the story of Jacob just arbitrarily stops, and they start telling us the story of Joseph, which is what our first reading was all about today. But they pick up the Joseph story smack in the middle for no reason whatsoever, without telling you anything of the run-up to the first reading that you just heard. And tomorrow's first reading is going to be a culmination, the climax of the story of Joseph. And if I haven't said it before, I've got a gripe with the guy who put this lectionary together, right? Because he breaks up stories like that. So what I thought I would give you today is the backstory of Joseph, because it's one of the most inspiring and beloved stories in all the Bible. The only short story in all the Bible, the story of Joseph is, with two really very powerful themes that we cannot meditate on enough. Number one, the power of God's providence. Number two, God's ability to draw good out of evil through the cooperation of just one person. It's in the story of Joseph. Okay, so Jacob, who was also known as Israel, had 12 sons. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Naphtali, Issachar, Asher, Gad, Zebulun, Dan, Judah, Benjamin, and Joseph. And Joseph was the most beloved of all of the children, and Jacob didn't hide that. He made it quite well known. You guys have probably heard or seen, the Broadway musical that was made on this very subject. And he gave Joseph this really special coat. Some people say it was many colors. Other people say it was a coat of long sleeves. But whatever it did, it made all the other brothers green with envy, right? They hated Joseph. Joseph, however, had this remarkable ability to interpret dreams. And he had these dreams that one day all of his 11 brothers would bow down before him in all of his might and power. Joseph was tactless enough to tell them this, which really pushed them over the edge. Until one day they said they had enough of Joseph, and they dragged him out into the wilderness where they were going to dump him in a cistern and leave him for dead. When the brother Reuben spoke up and said, "Hey, maybe we shouldn't, throw him away like he's garbage. Maybe we could sell him, get a nickel or two for him." So a band of Ishmaelites come traveling by, and they sell Joseph into slavery for silver. A prefigurement, by the way, of Christ our Lord being sold for what? For silver. Joseph is taken away to slavery in Egypt, where before long he finds himself rotting in prison for a crime he didn't commit. The lowest of the low. But Joseph still had this extraordinary power to interpret dreams. And who was having troublesome prophetic dreams but mighty Pharaoh himself? So one day they dragged poor Joseph, trembling in his chains, before the throne of Pharaoh, who explains to Joseph his dreams, and Joseph interprets them perfectly. Pharaoh, so impressed, places Joseph in charge of the government, where Joseph oversees 7 years of terrible famine, striking all the lands around the Mediterranean. Joseph alone makes sure that Egypt has enough food to make it through the famine, bringing all the nations of the world to the doorstep of Egypt, begging for food. And who comes down from the land of Canaan begging for food but Joseph's 11 brothers, bowing down before him in fulfillment of the great prophecy. But they don't recognize who he is. What does Joseph do? Does he extract revenge? Does he carry out his vengeance? No. No, he forgives. And in his forgiveness, his Christ-like forgiveness, he reunites all the children of Israel together. It's one of the greatest stories in all the Bible, with a couple of real important lessons. First of all, the providence of God. There are many people in the world who carry out deliberately malicious machinations, deliberately evil things, just like Joseph's brothers did. And when we see these things, it's our duty to oppose them, and it's our duty to resist them with all the might that we have. But we must remember that even when we can't, God remains firmly in control and brings good out of every evil. I like to think, for example, of the cowardice of Pontius Pilate. Gosh, if he just spoke up, he could have saved Jesus' life. His cowardice deliberately brought about the redemption. Or you talk about the bitterness of Pharaoh, who chased after Moses with all of his chariots right up to the edge of the Red Sea, running to send them back into slavery. But if it wasn't for the hardness of Pharaoh's heart, there never would have been an Exodus. Yeah, we suffer the evil machinations of people, but we must remember God always remains firmly in control. The moral of the story comes from tomorrow's first reading, where Joseph says to his brothers, "You wish to do me harm, but God intended it for good." And here's a second lesson, and it's just as important. It's God's willingness to bring about good out of evil through the cooperation of just one person. Now, you already know that one person was Joseph, right? Could have taken revenge, didn't take revenge, brought all the peoples together. But there's other examples of this story, and all throughout the Bible. One of them comes from the Joseph story, and it's the story of the youngest brother, Benjamin. Now, Benjamin, when he's in Egypt, is falsely accused of a crime. Little Benjamin, the youngest of all of them. And who steps up to Benjamin's defense but his brother Judah? He's absolutely convinced of Benjamin's innocence and offers himself in exchange for Benjamin's freedom. Well, turns out, later on in the Bible, in the days of King Rehoboam, all the tribes of Israel turn against the kingship of Judah. All the tribes, that is, except for just one, the tribe of Benjamin. Only tribe that remains loyal to Judah, and all the other tribes are lost. Lost tribes of Israel, lost into history. And God promised one day I would reconcile all the peoples of the world to myself through the children of Israel. Well, guess who one day rose up out of the tribe of Benjamin? St. Paul, who became the apostle to the Gentiles, reconciling all the peoples of the world to the God of Israel. It just goes to show you how much good God brings about through the cooperation of just one person. You know, the God of the Old Testament, God of the New Testament, is the same God. People often think the God of the Old Testament is all mean and full of wrath, and the God of the New Testament is love and forgiveness, and that's the subject of a separate homily. But it's the same God. We understand the New Testament through the lens of the Old, and we understand the Old Testament through the perspective of the new. And, you know, just a couple real important lessons we want to remember. God's providence. How he even uses the worst things brings about even a greater good. But also, God's willingness to bring about this good through the cooperation of just one person. And as we continue to pray for the Mass, let's pray for the grace that you and I will become that one. Amen.